hopefully you're settling in if you're getting back to a new schedule today. Over 20,000 kids just in the Pittsburgh public schools alone, let alone all the other school districts that have also started today. Some a few days last week and some will trickle in, but by the end of the week, almost everybody we'll be back at school, including our local universities.
And it is at this time of the year that we start to think about college football and paying a little more close attention. It's time to stop prognosticating and start participating.
Yeah, and if you ask any coaches the real answer to how are you going to be this year, it's hard to determine completely without actually playing somebody else. So we'll get a taste of that. And there's a huge game in Morgantown, as the Mountaineers of the Big 12 will host Penn State.
What's Penn State, about a 10-point favorite? Is that
8.5 right now, okay, according to FanDuel. And then Pitt opens the season at noon. By the way, that game's also at noon, Penn State and West Virginia. And then at noon, Kent State comes to Acrisure Stadium. So early this morning, I ran over and talked to our morning team from our sports station, The Fan, because this is great. So Doran's a Pitt All-American, so alum. And Adam Crowley is a West Virginia alum.
And you can hardly walk by the studio on any given day, and he's not wearing some kind of WVU wear, right?
Yeah, Adam, yeah. Yeah. And more often than not, Doran will have some Pitt gear on. So it makes – and just 2 weeks from Saturday, the Mountaineers come to Acrisure to play Pitt. And remember, 2 years ago, 72,000 plus saw that. That is the largest crowd ever gathered to watch a sporting event in Pittsburgh, period.
Maybe they'll top it this year.
So we'll see. So I ran in the studio and talked to the boys.
Pitt All-American Doran Dickerson. It's college football week. By the way, the kickoff luncheon for Pitt where Tyler Palko and you was fantastic. I hope you post that whole video.
Oh, yeah, it was great. And, you know, to have Tyler back, I know everybody was excited. And it's a guy that I learned from, a guy that inspired me and was one of my role models growing up. So it was awesome to be able to put that together for Pitt and for Tyler. College football is back, Larry. Thursday, you got Colorado, Deion Sanders, and you got a couple other games, too. And then this weekend, we're back with the, you know, the whole gamut of games.
Already a big upset. In Ireland, Georgia Tech with a late field goal with 5 seconds left over Florida State. It was supposed to win the ACC. So week one, game one, already a big upset.
Absolutely. And obviously we're looking for Pitt to go in there and take it one game at a time. But you'll see upsets all across the board. That's what happens with college football. They don't have scrimmages against other teams during training camp. They don't have exhibition games, which I think that they should. So you're only getting what you've been practicing for throughout that month of August, and then you got to put it on the field, and you know you'll have some camp legs, you'll have guys that are tired, and just nothing really is in sync for teams. So Florida State was on the bad end of that.
What about a big carrot for fans, the expansion of the playoffs? So there's hope. It's not just Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State.
Crowley and I have been talking about that too. We sit here and it's like, wow, we're back with football, but we also get the whole month of December to watch some legit football, not because, you know, just thinking back before where there was just bowl games, but now you'll have some legit opportunities for teams to make their way through the playoffs and hopefully find themselves in a championship. So it's exciting.
You realize this is the only holiday of the year that the NFL gives it up. They just say, go ahead, guys, kick off your season and we'll be back next week. So let's see your partner here in The Fan. Looks like he's wearing a WVU jersey.
No, he's getting ready. That's a big game. Big game on Saturday, Penn State, West Virginia. He's hoping that he can bring them some good luck.
All right, Doran, Kent State coming to Acrisure Stadium at noon on Saturday. But then West Virginia opens the season. Adam, what are your expectations? This is a huge game.
It's a big game for West Virginia to get onto the national stage. If they were somehow able to pull the upset, I think it would be the first time under Neil Brown they'd be in the national conversation.
Wait a minute. Who are they playing?
Oh, Penn State. Those Jags. And last year, it was a 21.5-point spread. Penn State covered the spread by scoring a touchdown with 5 seconds left. Controversial at the time. This year, the spread's down to 8.5. So I am expecting a much closer game in Morgantown. We'll see if the old Golden Blue can pull it off.
And then 2 weeks from Saturday, what happens?
We can't get there. Yeah, I got too much on my mind for that right now. Me and Doran are going to be at odds, and I can't get my mind around that at this point.
All right, guys, here we go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson from The Fan. So a lot of excitement. College football always for me, I love these weekends.
This is the best time of the year, as far as I care. You get all the good ones right now.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of fun. And
The pennant races. You got college football getting started. The pro game gets cranked up. And hardly a weekend goes by there's not something fun to watch.
And before you know it, we're about a month. The Penguins start skating.
Yep.
It's hard to believe, man. But it's here. And don't forget, it's the Rib Fest going on all around Acrisure Stadium down there on, Rockin' on Rooney. And they got rib vendors from all over the country for the Labor Day weekend.
A friend of mine who used to regularly haunt an event called Memphis in May, which is a big barbecue cook-off event that's along the banks of the Mississippi River, compares what's going on now at Rib Fest to Memphis in May.
Well, we got it here in August. And the kickoff and Rib Festival is presented by Icy Light. If you haven't gotten your fix on what's going on with our political race, we have an update coming right after the news at 9:30. Actually, a lot's transpired just over this weekend alone. We have had a plethora of news, especially in that department. Paul, this caught my attention. Whatever happens in the sauna stays in the sauna.
What are you talking about?
Well, there in Finland, saunas are big.
Yeah.
And most people in Finland, it's unbelievable if you think about the number of people that are in Finland and how many saunas there are. It's almost 1-to-1. And even someone with a modest apartment, apparently, a lot of them have saunas. But they're talking about having diplomatic conversations.
Oh, you're talking about public saunas. Yeah.
With world leaders. When you're half naked or even sometimes completely naked, it allows for deeper discussion, says the ambassador of Finland to the United States. You talk in a way that doesn't happen when you're sitting around a table with a tie on.
Well, I'll say.
Diplomacy takes shapes in different ways. Formal meetings in the Oval Office and state dinners in the White House East Room. Casual receptions at embassy and one-on-one meetings over martinis in the lobbies of five-star hotels. But the Finnish government likes to conduct business in another way. They like their networking and meetings to happen in the sauna and, for the most part, in the nude. The ambassador says, Paul, we have a golden rule that whatever happens in the sauna stays in the sauna. We try to make sure there's a full trust and confidence. And I mentioned there are 5.5 million people in Finland, right? And 3 million saunas. So the Finns are trying to create a more relaxed atmosphere. I don't think that's going to happen here.
Aren't the Scandinavian countries like Finland and Norway and Sweden and also Denmark consistently near the top of the list of the happiest countries?
Yeah, that is 100% true. So they actually have a group, an organization called the Diplomatic Sauna Society, and they set up gatherings of 15 to 20 people at the embassy about once a month. The evening starts in a dark downstairs bar lit by a neon sign that reads sauna. The attendees are separated by gender, and each group is taken into a fitting room stocked with robes and bathing products.
Robes and bathing products.
Participants undress. Nudity is encouraged. But bathing suits are permitted.
Why am I not surprised that this has caught your attention?
And then they go through the sauna ritual. Shower, heat, cold, repeat. After a few rounds, everyone changes and heads back into the bar area where they have snacks.
And I'll bet the snacks are pretty good.
Including salmon on rye bread with dill sauce and meatballs.
Yep, delicious stuff. Open-faced Danish sandwiches, smorgasbord. I think they call it.
And this is how they relax people.
And in Finland, much the same. So I had an interesting conversation with a friend over the weekend about obesity. We got to talking about it because RFK made comments about that we have a chronic disease problem in the United States. And I thought, well, I want to find out about that. So I looked up obesity rates by nation, like a chart of obesity rates by nation.
And let me guess, we have to be at the top.
We are. Yep, we're at the very top of the list, followed by in the top five, Chile, Mexico, New Zealand, and Hungary. All of us have at least 30% or more of the population are considered obese. These are adults over 15. In America, here it's 40%. Guess who's at the bottom of this list?
Japan.
Bang.
They eat fish.
I watched
vegetables and rice.
One video after another. Exactly right. Miso soup, rice, vegetables. They do eat their fair share of pork and chicken.
Well,
but it's an interesting diet, and I was fascinated by it. And I've been looking at ways to lose weight. I might just start to make some substitutions along those lines. What I see that they don't eat a lot of are potatoes and bread.
Well, what we'd appreciate is if you don't come in here in a kimono anymore. I told my kids for years, and they make fun of me, but I said, well, you're having miso soup. It's packed with vitamins. And
it is. Yep.
The seaweed, which is the wrapping,
mm-hmm.
anytime you get
sushi.
Yeah, any kind of sushi.
Like I get a California roll. It's got some seaweed in it.
It's packed with vitamins.
Yes, it is. By the way, the best countries going up from Japan, if you want to go that way, it's Japan, Korea, Italy, Switzerland, Norway, and we'll let Sweden come in as a tie.
But you may be surprised to see Italy in there because of the pasta.
Not at all.
Breads and,
Mediterranean diet.
Yeah. Now you're making me hungry for a cheeseburger. With potato patch fries. That's what they were talking about. Pat McAfee was talking about this past week was Kennywood with Mark Cabali, who he just hired from Pittsburgh to be his Steelers contact.
Of course, they had to get into the potato patch fries, right?
He was trying to explain for those that were unfamiliar with Kennywood that he works with that, oh, no, you don't understand. You don't have the potato patch, and they didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah, but we do.
Yes, we do. Forget about your fish and miso soup.
Another reason why we're at the top of the chart.
Yeah. And in this half hour, we will check in with Marty Griffin, 10 until 2, see what he's working on. Meanwhile, over the weekend, his point about politics. Let's start with CBS and Skylar Henry. Get you caught up.
The Harris Walz ticket is riding a wave of momentum following the Democratic National Convention. The campaign saying it's broken fundraising records. $540 million raised in the month since it launched. Democrats say it's adding a jolt in congressional races.
I mean, coming out of the DNC and for the last now month plus, we have just seen such energy, such enthusiasm, such true joy and optimism.
Despite the energy, now a call for detail on foreign policy.
I hope very much that the conclusion that will be reached is that Netanyahu and his right-wing extremist government, which has received tens of billions of dollars of aid from the U.S., should not continue to receive that aid unless there is a radical change in their policies.
Former President Donald Trump sharpening attacks over Democratic policy in the Middle East. Recent polls show a tight race, especially in the seven battleground states. The Trump Vance ticket plans on blitzing the states this week as their campaign searches for the right tone.
I'm going to say things from time to time that people disagree with. I'm a real person. I'm going to make jokes. I'm going to say things sarcastically. And I think that what's important is that we focus on the policy.
This week, Trump heads back to Michigan twice while also making a stop in Pennsylvania on Friday. Harris is planning on another bus tour, this time across the state of Georgia. Skyler Henry, CBS News, the White House.
And we found that Donald Trump will visit Johnstown on Friday, so the campaigns continue to canvass Pennsylvania, and that will be the case, we anticipate, right through election week, which is in November, obviously.
One of the stories that you'll hear in our 10 o'clock news is an interview with J.D. Vance over the weekend on Meet the Press on NBC. I assume that's the reason why they didn't use it on CBS, but I was talking about Donald Trump's position on an abortion ban, and if an abortion ban legislation, if that made it to his desk, that he would veto it, which is the opposite of what we're hearing from his competition. So it's a very, very contentious and confusing issue.
That's one of them, and there are many. The biggest news, obviously, is at the end of the week, heading into the weekend, Robert Kennedy Jr. said he is, you know, shuttering his campaign and he is supporting Donald Trump.
Isn't,
and then they were seen together.
Remarkable. I was commenting to a friend over the weekend about it. I said, so what we've had up to this point is we've had the assassination attempt, the debate with the loss of Joe Biden, and now Kamala Harris, and the RFK thing, and it's still August.
Right.
I mean, you know, normally we're sitting around waiting for the October surprise, Larry, and so what else is next? One or two, maybe three more upheavals of some kind?
Yeah, what surprise could there possibly be after the surprises that we've already had?
That's what I said after the debate.
I think a lot of people just scratch their heads going, well, what possibly could happen next in this process? So, Robert Kennedy Jr. Was together with Donald Trump, and they have obviously the question some people have is, was Robert Kennedy offered some kind of position in the future with the administration if Donald Trump wins?
Actually, that question was addressed by, I think it was both candidates, or the ex-candidate and the former president. Is the answer that he would be too busy to be in. No, I'm sorry, that was Elon Musk. I take that back. They both said that nothing was discussed and nothing was offered.
Okay. So we'll see what transpires this week, and we'll keep you posted on that. That said, you mentioned the assassination. I know you've been covering this story about today. They're going back to the Butler Fairgrounds. And my question is, at this point, after they had a chance right after July 13th, what do they possibly expect to learn from the place that is basically back to the way it was before?
I think there's three possible reasons, and maybe they're all valid. Number one is, not all the people on the task force were there the first time, and so maybe they want to include everyone. The second reason would be to get a look at, again, the position of the police officers who, I think they were snipers, in the building next to the building that the shooter fired off of, what they knew, what they could see, all of that, how that transpired. And then I also think that the Louisiana congressman last week lobbed some pretty tough criticism in the direction of the FBI and the Secret Service, and the allegations were along the lines of, the FBI cleared the scene too quickly, they released the body of the shooter too quickly, he interpreted that as obstruction. I don't know if that's true or not. With the Secret Service, he was saying that they didn't pick up the radios that they were told to get, and they got a reminder, the Secret Service got a reminder from local law enforcement the day before the rally. And so maybe they want to go back and take a look around and have, you know, and talk to a few people about that.
The suggestion is, had they had those radios, they might have been in tune with the panic that was starting to build right before the shots were fired of searching for this shooter.
Yeah, I know that when I'm in the newsroom and we hear the scanners go off and people's voices, they change inflection, or you can hear a faster pace. You know, I need to pay attention to this.
Right.
That's something that what you're suggesting is right.
Yeah, so there was a missing element because they were trying to tell the Secret Service, we got a problem here, but apparently it fell on deaf ears, or nobody took action at that moment.
There was no phone to answer.
Yeah, well, that in and of itself. So they continue. They'll be at Butler today again at the farm show area, and we'll let you know what it is they're looking for and what they discover.
They will have a newser later after today, so they'll answer reporters' questions. We'll have the latest on that.
On the Big K Morning Show, and coming up, we're going to check in with Marty Griffin. 10 until 2, Marty Griffin takes the air chair. Get Marty. Morning, Marty.
Larry, what's up?
What are you working on?
Waiting for you, man.
What do you mean?
Steelers.
Oh, we got to wait another weekend, though.
Why is that?
You know, they just kind of, when they went to 17 regular season games, they kind of reconfigured the schedule timing and the layout. And I'm telling you what's going to happen in the future. Two preseason games, one home, one away. They're going to add an 18th regular season game. They're going to move the Super Bowl to President's Day down the road. Just make a note of it. Meanwhile,
big fight, parking lot.
I saw that. I saw your post. A student and a
parent.
Yeah.
Kid was flying through the parking lot. Parent got annoyed, stopped the car, grabbed the kid, and the fight ensued. Kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
You cannot go at it with teenage boys.
You end up on the short end of that conversation.
Crazy stuff, Larry. Union president for the police department off the top says the department is in shambles. Shambles. Says there's no way to fix it without massive raises for officers. Massive. And if they don't, the department crumbles, never to recover.
It doesn't sound like that's a possibility. It just doesn't.
The police chief says that's bogus, says they're fine, says he's working on a big raise for them and they need to chill out.
Okay.
It's crazy stuff. I don't know, man. How about this dad who was a cop, was accused of injecting his son with steroids? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Making him take Adderall so he'd be sharper for games. We're going to talk to an insane trainer, one of the best in the country, about the dangers of that. Dumb question? No. How do you get a bat out of your house? A bat.
Oh, you're going to open up a whole audience to that. That
Samantha, your little friend.
Terrifying.
She had a bat in her house.
Oh, that can be terrifying. Yeah. Sam, there she is. Look at her. Look at that look. I've seen that. All right, get Marty.
Look at the bat.